Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The holidays are upon us, and many people already preparing to get together with friends, loved ones, or getting together to break feast, you know, eat some good food, which goes with some good drinks. Here on Insight, we have created what has really just become a tradition over the years. It started out as this fun exercise with Cap Radio classical music host Jennifer Reason and our resident wine expert, Rick Cushman. Jennifer will play a classical music song, and Rick is going to listen to it live on air for the first time, and he's going to pair it with a wine from the region. So continuing with this holiday tradition here on Insight, I welcome Rick and Jennifer to Insight.
Thank you. Wonderful to be back.
It is always fun to be here.
Yes, it is a treat. Before we do this really fun exercise that has become a tradition, Rick, I just want to start off. People are going to be planning Thanksgiving next week. They're going to be thinking either what to bring to a friend's house or they're hosting themselves. How should they think about wine and where that fits into Thanksgiving?
Well, the good news about Thanksgiving is that if there's any time ever not to be silly, wine snobby-ish about wine, it's Thanksgiving, because wine, it's about joyfulness and about celebrating food and each other and family and all that stuff. And so don't let yourself get hung up. So do the things that you like. And by the way, ignore whatever wine writers tell you, because they're always, you know, giving you some really exact thing and they're complaining that there's too many foods, so no wine will go with everything. And my point is, exactly, there's so many foods. How can you go wrong? Plus, really, complaining about too many foods just seems a little, this is why we don't like wine writers. So there are some specifics. Would you like me to get into those?
Yeah, I just one question, because you mentioned, you know, okay, maybe there's not one specific wine that goes with food. And what I've learned from you over the years is, of course, you got the smorgasbord for Thanksgiving. You got lots of flavors. Is it okay to try different types of wine? Can you go from white to red sparkling, and that's A-okay?
Yes, and don't, you know, that's those are just sort of old rules that you have to go in one order, and, you know, and you got to wash the glass out. Come on. It's Thanksgiving. And it's fun to try a couple of things. That's what makes one of the great joyful parts about a meal like Thanksgiving, is because there's all these things. And if you have a big group, hopefully you have a few different kinds of wines. So then you get to try, well, you know, maybe pour yourself a little small bit first, and then that didn't work, try the other one. And then if you got two glasses, they got a little bit of each. So that sort of thing too. So yep, absolutely, always fun.
Are there some staples that kind of do best for a meal like Thanksgiving?
Yes, and that's kind of the thing to think about, is that there are always some. And you know, our friend here, we are Insight, the unofficial sponsor of sparkling wine. I know Jennifer is a fan. is always a great thing with a mixed meal like that. It's a really good food wine. It's just really good with all kinds of things. And it's a very celebratory wine. So if you're going to a party or going to a dinner and you bring a bottle of a sparkling of any kind, you're going to be a hit. And people will like you for the thought. The whites that also work really well are things like Chardonnay, you know, rich, and especially richer Chardonnay, because the meal is pretty rich.
Is rich buttery?
Yeah. Or oaky. But yeah, basically those sorts of, you know, the wines that wine critics complain about are the ones that will go really well. The ones that most people like, actually. And leaner wines are okay, too, but the leaner Chards. Another that really goes well is Riesling, which is one of the ones I'll be using. I do this, you know, my monthly tastings, and we're doing Thanksgiving foods tonight. And Jennifer's showing up, actually.
At Brooklyn, in East Sacramento, Folsom.
Cannot wait.
And Riesling is another wine that goes spectacularly with a lot of foods, because it's got some richness to it, but also a little bit of acid. On the red side, Pinot Noir is a wonderfully food-friendly wine, and it goes with so many of the foods. And then another is Zinfandel. And, you know, Zin is one of those happy wines. It's a Thanksgiving wine. It's celebratory. It's kind of wild and kind of unruly, sort of like my family. And it's just perfect for a Thanksgiving meal, and it goes with a lot of those foods, too.
Is Thanksgiving the time you're going to be with a lot of people, the day to really kind of break your budget and go big on a bottle of wine? Or should you just be more, I guess, reasonable when it comes to the dollar sign?
Yeah, probably not the budget. For one, because really, and when you get down to it, not a lot of folks are going to notice. I mean, there's that too, right? If the wine's nice and delicious, they'll be happy. But the difference between that big, delicious $15 or $20 wine and that big, delicious $50 or $100 wine, while it is there, it's a little more nuanced, and that's more for a smaller dinner party or something, you know, maybe Valentine's Day.
I like that. All right, Jen, you prepared some songs for us. What went into your selection for this year?
Well, I'm always interested to see what Rick will say, and I decided to challenge him just a little bit with this first one, partly for that reason and also because I'm curious what Iceland has to offer.
Well, let's take a listen. There's like a gentle delicateness to it.
There is. That is beautiful. And I feel myself sitting in a room with a big window watching it snow.
Exactly.
And lovely. Well, here's the thing. And I had to confirm, we talked before, I had to confirm because I thought this was true. They actually don't have any commercial vineyards in there. They do grow something called wild crowberry wine, which is these giant thick, more sour blueberry type things, and it wouldn't work here. So the good news is with Iceland, I get to cheat because they have the restaurants serve wine from all over the world. So for this one, I'm going with a richer, yeasty champagne with that yeastiness to it, and because it's got that richness but also that lightness that I think would be perfect with that song.
Love that. I've never heard of a yeasty champagne before.
Yeah, there tend to be the more aged ones, and they'll sit on with the lees, is what they call it, which is the dead yeast when they make it, which lees just sounds better than dead yeast.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to come back over the Atlantic Ocean, and we're going to go to the Appalachians, right?
Yes. So this one always makes me think of Thanksgiving and family and simple hometown values. So here we are on the East Coast with Aaron Copland.
I completely understand why this song is called Appalachian Spring.
Right.
Oh, that's beautiful, too.
Isn't it gorgeous?
So the Appalachians themselves are not what we would call a bustling wine region, but that part of the country, one of the wines that grows really well there is Merlot. And I'm thinking that sort of the softness but the richness of that song would be perfect with Merlot, which is, you know, kind of a softer red with still some really good dark fruit in it. And I think that would be a lovely pairing.
Is Merlot still one of the most popular red wine varietals?
Yeah, and poor Merlot. You know, this is the sideways thing and all of that.
Right.
And it was the wine. It really was the red wine that dragged America into drinking red wine in the 1990s. That's a long story for another time. But it was very, very popular. And then what happens with anything that's very, very popular, particularly in the wine world because of our friends, the wine snobs, anything that's popular then becomes uncool. But they also overplanted and made some bland ones, and other wines rose to the top. But it's still one of the top-selling reds in America. So, and in the world, actually.
Holding strong. Okay, Jen, we're going to head to South America, to Chile.
Yes, you know there's some bold flavors down there. Here's some classical guitar. Thank you.
that was Javier Contreras. They gave me a little pep in my step.
Didn't it?
Yeah, that was another lovely song. And a little spice in there.
Yeah.
Just a touch of spice.
Just a hint.
So Chile's got a really great wine region, a lot of great wine regions. And one of the grapes that grow there is something called Carmenere. It is what's called the Lost Bordeaux because it is, you know, originally from Bordeaux, France. But they don't grow it much there, but it just does something really well. Grows really well in Chile, just the way Malbec grows really well in Argentina. It has to do with soils and climate and good guitar music. I think it's really good for grapes. And so I think Carmenere, which is red, a little bit of spice, and blended with some of their other wines like Cinsault or even Cab or Merlot. But a Carmenere-based red is my pick for that puppy.
And can you find that here?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And Carmenere now is much more common everywhere, but Chilean Carmenere is a word, Carmenere. Yeah, and you'll find it in places that import Chilean wine for sure. And, you know, Chile has this one bad problem, and it's a good problem, a bad problem, was that, you know, you think about wines from Chile, and they're always a little less expensive, and it got them be very popular, and they're always a great buy. They're always, you know, deliver over their price. However, they've been trying to raise the prices to support the industry, and people kind of resist it because they're so used to paying a little bit less. So that's sort of one of the things. And one of the more expensive wines you'll get from Chile might have Carmenere on the label. So don't blanch at the price. I'm not crazy expensive, but, you know, $20, $25 as opposed to $12 or $14.
All right, good to know. Okay, last but not least, we're heading to France.
I figured if I started with Iceland, I should give a lob softball.
Easy peasy
yes.
Here, right?
Here's France. To end.
All right, this is your playground, Rick.
So I detect a little Germanic note in there. So we're going to Alsace, which is on the border of Germany and near Switzerland, and a region known for whites, but richer whites and wine and Pinot Noir as well, but whites like Riesling. But I think here we're going with the Gewürztraminer, but a dry Gewürz. You know, a lot of people kind of quirtle the nose because they're used to Blue Nun kind of things. But you know, it's lively. It's got rich fruit in it, but still really delicious stuff. And by the way, if you do run across Gewürztraminers that are labeled as dry, give them a try. But from Alsace, they'll have a richness to it and a depth that that few other places produce. So I think it would go lovely with that.
You know, I used to be among those when it came to Gewürztraminer until I went to a tasting room in Murphy's in Calaveras County, a dry one. It was wonderful. And we have about a minute or so left. I would think now is actually a pretty good time to give our wineries and tasting rooms a little bit of love.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, if it's raining, how fun is it to be standing in a wine room by a fire and, you know, drinking wine? And it won't be, well, it'll be busy, crazy busy probably over the weekends, you know, the holiday, but other times in between. The winter's a great time to be at wine country because it's a different feel. It's quiet. You know, there's no leaves, but the trellises make the vineyard look like line drawings.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, it's just, and you really feel the landscape. Yeah.
Well, thank you both for this really fun exercise, this holiday tradition here on Insight. And Rick, I really just like how when it comes to wine, you just kind of like the headline is don't sweat it. Just enjoy it.
Almost always, yes. The only hard part is getting the cork out.
Yeah. If it tastes good, drink it.
Exactly.
Rick Cushman is Insight's resident wine guy. And Jennifer Reason, of course, is Cap Radio's Midday Classical host. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Sarit Lashinsky and Jen Picard. Our digital producer is Chris Feltz. Our audio engineer is Tyler Webb. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.